To remind you, once again, you're listening to KUCI in Irvine, and hit a little theme music. Darkling Eclectica presents a collection of broadcast fiction brought to you by the Darkling Eclectica. Reputation by Michael H. Payne, Part 7. Sources on the docks confirm that the rats were rounded up within minutes of arriving at the warehouse, the port authorities seizing the smugglers' cargo and scuttling their boats, as no otter would ever care to serve on so much as a skiff that had ever been commanded by such brigands, and this reporter was present to witness as disreputable a gang of thugs as our town has ever seen, shuffling dispiritedly into Air Force HQ during the wee hours of this morning. Air Force Officer Rollo Hawk declined to comment on the details of the case, but he did give gruff acknowledgement to, quote, the agents of Tucker Investigations for their assistance in breaking up the ring. This reporter's questions as to the exact nature of that assistance were rebuffed by Officer Hawk, but a quick ruffle through public records shows that a certain local detective agency, our beloved town has two, you who are among the more law-abiding of our citizens may be surprised to discover, has had on its roster, as an apprentice, a certain local rat. And how many of those are there? For more than a year now. Questions directed to Raymond Nibbler, the head of the aforementioned rat's adopted clan, were merely met with Mr. Nibbler's usual grin and invitation to lunch. So this reporter must leave it to his readers to put two and two together. From Smuggling Ring Rounded Up by Chalgok Nino, Ottersgate Daily Fluxion, 44th Day of Winter, 1726.
"There's no need to rush, Retio."
Mr. Tucker bit the end off a new clove stick.
"It's your first solo case, so..."
"Oh, that's okay, sir."
Rat tapped the file he'd set on the mouse's desk.
"Once I figured out how Chove Spuckler was trying to defraud the bank, the rest fell into place."
Mr. Tucker sat forward.
"You got proof?"
"Almost."
Retio flipped the file open.
"Enough for a search warrant from Judge Owl."
"How so?"
Mr. Tucker began leafing through the pages.
"Well, the Spuckler pearls are too well known to sell here in Ottersgate, but no one on the docks has heard anything about them being smuggled downriver to Beaverpool, so..."
"The docks?"
Mr. Tucker looked up through his eyebrows.
"You're careful down there, though, right? You get yourself knifed, I'll never hear the end of it from the school board."
Rat couldn't keep his whiskers from bristling.
"Sir, I'll be a senior next year, and the docks aren't really that dangerous."
In fact, he'd only been in one fight in the 3 years he'd been apprenticed at Tucker Investigations. Trouble really did have a scent, the way Grandpa said, and whenever it started tickling his whiskers, Rat got out quick. Mr. Tucker chewed his clove stick.
"So, you reckon what? Spuckler staged the robbery?"
"Yes, sir."
He wanted to grab the report, pull out the relevant pages, make the mouse see how it all added up. But he forced himself to stay still. Mr. Tucker liked things slow and easy.
"The original plans for Mr. Spuckler's cottage don't match the measurements I took when we were looking his place over. There's room behind his fireplace for..."
"Hold up now."
Mr. Tucker looked through his eyebrows again.
"Housing plans are supposed to be locked away in the building department. How'd you get a hold of them?"
Rat shrugged.
My Uncle Bors is their head architect.
The mouse shook his head. I should have gotten a nibbler apprentice years ago. He tapped the folder. Still, it's not much to go to the judge with.
Oh, there's more, sir. The window Mr. Spuckler said the burglars came in through, it...
He stopped as the big water clock against the wall chimed four. Mr. Tucker looked back at it.
Didn't you say you had to be somewhere at 3:30?
Rat jumped out into the front office and grabbed his hat from the rack by the door.
Everything's in my report, sir, he called back. I'll see you tomorrow.
He heard the old mouse laugh.
Have a good time, Ratayo.
Then he was down the stairs and out onto the sidewalk in front of Jaybird's Emporium, Ma Jaybird giving him her usual glare when he tipped his hat at her. No time to work on being friendly today. He sprinted across the street to the common, the Bailey Oak towering over the park, dodged through a couple late summer softball games, ran down Green Street to Legion Street, then up the sidewalk to the Mouse Lodge. His ears fell. The big cart out front already loaded. Kylie and Corin and Paul and the other mice apprenticed at the lodge, wrapping ropes around the wooden walls and metal pipes of the festival booth. Uh-oh. Smoothing his Ratayo face into place, he slowed to a saunter.
Well, say there, folks. Need any help?
Corin's glare snapped over to him.
You? Help?
Paul, panting hard, didn't say anything, but Kylie folded her arms.
You said you'd be here at 3:30, Ratayo.
Rat tipped his hat to her. The Kylie game had gotten a lot trickier recently. With their different class schedules, he barely saw her at school, and the rest of the time, she was at the lodge. Ms. Courier had already given her the keys, even though she couldn't be named lodge mistress till next year. He stopped by the lodge a lot, though, to help out, and he'd managed to collect six more of Kylie's wonderful quick kisses since Cotillion. It was just... the rules were changing so fast, Rat had less idea every day how to act around her. But he smiled and said,
"Well, in the pursuit of justice, Kylie, time occasionally slips away."
Corin snorted.
"In pursuit of bar brawls, you mean?"
He tipped his hat to her, too.
"As always, Corin, I bow to your superior knowledge."
Her mouth tightened.
"We really only needed you for the heavy lifting, so you can just scurry back to..."
Corin?
Kylie touched the other mouse's arm.
"We still have to get the cart across to Ree's Meadow."
"Exactly."
Rat put his hat back on, stepped to the pull poles at the front of the cart, and grabbed the ropes.
"Anyone wants a ride?"
he called over his shoulder.
"Hop on!"
A few laughs, and most of the mice scrambled up onto the stacks, the cart creaking.
"You're sure, Ratayo?"
Kylie asked, worry in her voice.
"I can help pull if you'd like."
"No, no."
He hefted the poles, forced himself not to grimace, heavier than he'd expected, and looked over at Corin.
"Can we drop you anywhere? The West Channel, for instance?"
Corin sniffed and turned away.
"I'd rather not put my life in the paws of an idiot, thank you."
Rat bit back a comment about her father. The rules for the Corin game sure hadn't changed. And just said,
"Kylie?"
Smiling, Kylie jumped up onto the front of the cart and fired off a whistle so loud, Rat felt it crease the fur between his ears.
"Onto the meadow!"
she shouted.
"Aye, aye, Madame Strawboss."
Bracing himself, he hauled on the traces, tensed every muscle he could think to tense. The cart gave a few groans, the mice gave a few squeals, and Rat felt the wheels rumble forward. To cheering behind him, he pulled the cart away from the curb, out onto Legion Street, around the corner onto Green Street, and the mice started into Festival Day, a song Rat didn't much like, and definitely too jaunty for the pace he wanted to set. Still, a brilliant late summer day, folks on the street smiling at him for a change, Kylie's voice clear among the singers. Rat could think of worse things to be doing. Along Green Street, around the common, then he wrenched the wagon off onto West Road, mouse-sized buildings on his left, otter-sized on his right. The slope made him skip a bit, slowing the cart over the cobblestones, but he guided it down to the shore of the West Channel, the West Bridge arching up and across the water just ahead. The mice cheered again, and Rat hopped up beside Kylie, the wagon's momentum carrying it onto the bridge. At least they'd beaten the traffic. Half an hour from now, this place would be swarming with otters heading home. They crested the bridge and started down the other side, the road sliding through the warehouses of the Ottersgate Transport Service, the song echoing among the buildings.
Then the cart rattled out into the open, otters at their big wagons, looking over with many a wave, whistle, and holler. Rat heard the mice calling back, but he was watching the road as it climbed again to time his jump back onto the ground. The cart slowing, Rat pushed himself from his perch, grabbed the traces, and started hauling, trees on his left, crowding close to the road. On the right, though, the grassy plain of Rees Meadow stretched, crescent-shaped rows of carts and wagons ahead, a sight that made Rat's stomach tighten. It was the autumn festival tomorrow, after all, and that would be the Gypsy Squirrel Caravan. Rat focused away from it, found the other carts down by the river, pulled toward them. He had avoided every autumn festival since his adoption, but whenever he'd seen Kylie this past year, she'd asked him to come with her. And why not? He was Retio Nibbler now, had a job, prospects, a place in the Ottersgate community. Just because his exile forbade his entry to the squirrel half of the festival grounds didn't mean he shouldn't come out and enjoy the rest of it. He followed the cart tracks toward the Otter's Gate booths. A barge from the transport service dragged onto the riverbank, the otters setting up their beer garden on it. Lizards from Denalis Kiva scurrying around, building their traditional mud dome. The big Dunk the Mayor tank, always very popular. The birds of Mercy Hospital weaving their display. Rabbits from the Brackens farms putting up rows of vegetable stalls. Signs for mouse groups ranging from the Sisters of Charity to the Tuesday Night Pie Club. "Oh, there's Dad!" came Kylie's voice behind him, and Rat saw Uncle Boris standing in a big empty space beside the town council's booth, Grandpa there with him. Letting his paws drag, Rat skipped and skidded and slowed the cart till he brought it to a creaking halt at the back of the space. "All ashore!" Kylie called, and Rat turned panting to watch the mice scramble onto the grass, Kylie hopping down next to him. "You rest a minute," she said with a smile. "Then we'll start putting everything together." She stretched up to touch a kiss to his snout, then she was back among the other mice, helping offload the steel and wood. Kiss number 8. Rat leaned against the cart, but a clearing of throat made him look up, Uncle Boars grinning at him, Grandpa squinting and asking, "You all right, Retio?"
"Well, of course he is." Uncle Boars poked Grandpa's arm. "So shove off, Pop, and let us honest folk get to work."
"Hey, quiet whelp."
Grandpa rubbed his chin, looked around at the other booths being set up, mice on ladders and pushing wheelbarrows, the air abuzz with laughs and chatter.
"Though I suppose it wouldn't hurt to butter up a few of our fellow nibblers as long as I'm here."
"Dad,"
Uncle Boris rolled his eyes, "the election's weeks away, and no one's going to run for clan head against you."
"This'll be my last term, though."
Grandpa clicked his tongue.
"If you're not ready when I retire, Maline'll take the scarf from you, and then where'll the clan be?"
Uncle Boris snorted. "All Maline's got is some tired old anti-otter drivel, and after everything the Godolkins have done for this town, nobody's buying it. I campaign on continuing your policies, I'll get voted in first ballot. Simple." He turned to Rat.
"So, let's get building, huh?"
Rat nodded to Grandpa and followed Uncle Boris to where the other mice were stacking the material from the cart.
"All right!"
Uncle Boris clapped his paws.
"Kylie, Paul, Corin, organize 3 teams to put the floor and sides together. Retio and I'll start getting the framework up."
He patted Rat on the shoulder.
"I tell you, this is what I got into construction for. Sitting in some office going over blueprints is no fun at all."
But Rat found reason to dispute that as the afternoon wore on, lugging metal beams around, working them into their holders, and laying them out in a big rectangle while Uncle Boris bolted everything together. Then they wrestled upright poles into the holders at the corners and along the sides and ratcheted on a second level of horizontal beams, Uncle Boris crawling around on top of the frame and fastening the pieces while Rat stood on his claw tips to hold them up.
"You see?"
Uncle Boris called down, tightening the last bolt on the second level.
"Nothing more fun than this!"
Sweat dripped from Rat's whiskers.
"I don't think fun means what you think it means," he panted out.
Uncle Boris laughed, grabbed the beam he was squatted on, and swung down, landing heavily on the grass.
"We'll take a break before we start the third level."
"Third level?"
Rat looked up through the structure.
"For the roof!"
Uncle Boris padded over to an ice chest, grabbed out 2 jars of apple juice.
"Not everybody's mouse-sized, you know."
He held a jar up with a grin.
"Though I guess I don't have to tell you that, do I?"
Rat smiled, took the jar and drank, sweet coolness icing into his chest. Then Uncle Boris cleared his throat and asked,
"So, anything I should know about that kiss Kylie gave you?"
The juice turned to stone in Rat's stomach. He got out, but he didn't know where to go from there. Uncle Boris laughed.
"Gods, the look on your face!"
He poked Rat's arm.
"You're a good kit, Tile. I've always thought so. So, well, there comes a point you're wanting my blessing for anything. You've got it, okay?"
He swigged his jar down.
"Now come on, back to work."
Rat watched him step between the beams, Kylie and the other mice attaching the wooden floor and walls to the metal framework. Had Uncle Boris just told him? But a sudden scent stopped his thoughts, made his ears snap upright, a heavily accented voice behind him.
"So grown up you look, Ratayo, yes?"
He spun, met dark eyes in reddish fur, a rounded snout, a tail arching up over sharp, tufted ears, and a bandana with a gray and burgundy checkered pattern that he hadn't seen in...
"Alphonse?"
he whispered. A smile burst over the squirrel's snout, the afternoon sunlight flashing from a big gold tooth where his left incisor had been, and he bounded across the grass, wrapped Rat in a hug that almost knocked him off his paws.
"Ah, Ratayo, I hug you twice, one for me and one for Nona."
He jumped back, kissed a foreclaw, made a gesture Rat remembered, a blessing for those who'd been taken by the rattler, which meant...
"Nona's dead?"
he asked.
"Ah."
The squirrel's smile faded.
3 winters passed, 2 days after Master Thespech."
He touched a paw to his chest.
"Both named me to succeed, so I am now Calliope Master and Priest."
His gold tooth flashed again.
"I hear from Counselor Nibbler how you advance as well?"
I guess.
Rat fumbled for his Ratayo face, but all he found was a sudden rush of shurid words.
"I not know a name I should to call you."
He got out. The squirrel touched Rat's shoulder, looked straight at him. They were the same height now, Rat was startled to find, and said,
"For you, I hope I'll always be Alphonse."
His shurid warm as soup to Rat's ears. Then he went on in Manx,
"I play the opening special tonight for you, good and loud, so you hear from outside camp, yes?"
Rat had to blink and swallow several times before he could say,
"Thank you, Alphonse. I'll be listening."
"Just so."
Alphonse touched his shoulder again.
"And no, Ratayo, no matter what comes, the High Ones watch you."
He turned and scurried away toward the gypsy wagons.
"Tayo?"
came Uncle Boar's voice. Rat turned, saw him standing with his arms folded.
"Friend of yours?"
Finally finding his Ratayo face, he made it smile.
You know me, friends everywhere."
He waved back at the booth.
"Now, you're serious about this third level?"
Uncle Boris nodded.
"I'll climb up on the framework, and you pass me the next layer of uprights. Simple."
He grinned and stepped into the structure.
"It's the top bracings that are the challenge."
Rat followed, boosted him up, started hefting beams, his thoughts as tangled as bracken. Alphonse, both priest and Calliope Master? Was that even legal? And Nona, dead 3 years? Why hadn't anyone told him? Alphonse had said something about hearing from Grandpa, but did that mean the two of them had been keeping in touch all this time? And Uncle Boris giving him his blessing. Rat hadn't mentioned his feelings for Kylie to anybody. He wasn't even sure what his feelings were, or if she had any for him. Beam after beam he lifted and held while Uncle Boris fastened them into place along one long side of the booth, the front, the other side, and the back, till a forest of uprights stood stretching into the clear afternoon air.
"Right,"
he vaguely heard Uncle Boris say.
"I'll climb up and attach the first top bracket, then you pass me up one of those joists, okay?"
Whether he nodded or not, Rat was never sure, lost in his own thoughts. The next thing he heard was a sharp crack above him. Looking up, he saw Uncle Boris at the very top of the corner upright, but the beam was tipping, the bracket holding it to the second level splitting as Rat watched. He opened his mouth, reached up, and the bracket exploded, its horizontal beam bursting out, slamming him in the chest, knocking him sideways out of the structure. He hit the ground hard and rolled, clangs everywhere now, shouts, crashes, screams stabbing his ears.
He found his paws, raised his head into a clattering curtain of dust, his eyes stinging. He coughed, blinked till he could see, the breeze blowing the dust away to show only a mess of shattered wood and crooked beams, mice scattered around, some groaning and rising shakily, some not. "Uncle Bors?" he heard his own voice squeak. Then he was rushing, stumbling over the beam that had knocked him clear, seeing the gray of Uncle Bors' fur under another beam, his back bent too far, his head not the right shape. Sudden movement, a wren in a white vest with the Mercy Hospital emblem on the back. "Sir," she was saying, her wings fluttering against his arm, "are you hurt?" All he could do was point a shaking claw at Uncle Bors. The wren looked, hopped forward, stroked the mouse's dark eyes closed. "We need to help the survivors first, sir." She flitted back to him. "Can you walk?" But Rat couldn't, wouldn't, didn't. He just stood and stared at the body tangled among the metal beams. Well, the day was hot and got hotter, and the bricks seemed to get heavier and heavier. Soon, mean Mr. Rat had slowed down so much, the mice working beside him had their parts of the wall all mortared and set and were ready to go get lunch, while mean Mr. Rat whined and moaned, "It's not fair to make me work so hard." The mice just laughed, except for Mr. Builder. "You want to eat, you've got to work," Mr. Builder said in a rough voice, putting his paws on his hips and glaring at mean Mr. Rat. "That's the only fair way." But Mr. Rat sniveled and cried so much that Mr. Builder finally shook his head. He told the other mice to go get lunch while he helped Mr. Rat finish his section of the wall. "Took you long enough to decide," Mr. Rat said with a sneer. "Now get to work." Mr. Builder jabbed a claw at Mr. Rat's nose. "You keep on with what you're doing. I'll make sure you've got enough mortar and bricks." And the mouse pushed Mr. Rat's nearly empty wheelbarrow over to the brick pile. Mean Mr. Rat glowered at Mr. Builder, but what could he do? The mice would only feed him if he worked. So he turned back to the wall, started slathering on the mortar and jamming bricks in all higgledy-piggledy, all the while muttering under his voice, "That stupid Mr. Builder, I'd poke him in the nose if I wasn't so weak from hunger." And he kept talking to himself until, with the wild way he was spreading the mortar, a big dollop of it splashed right into mean Mr. Rat's mouth. It was gritty and pasty and chalky and sour, but compared to the things Mr. Rat usually ate, he swallowed it down, liked the way it filled his middle, and began eating more and more of the mortar. He didn't want Mr. Builder to know, though, so he kept putting the bricks in place, just with less and less mortar, until the top layers, well, by the time he got to them, he didn't have any mortar left. "What's this?" he heard Mr. Builder shout behind him. "You need to use more mortar than that." The shout startled Mr. Rat so much, he jumped forward in surprise. But, of course, the brick wall was in front of him, and Mr. Rat, full of mortar, was so heavy, when he hit the wall, he shook out the loose bricks he'd put on top, and they fell right down onto Mr. Builder's head, knocking him out and down onto the ground. Not that mean Mr. Rat cared. He was full now, so he turned and ran away back into the woods, where he always goes. From Mean Mr. Rat and Mr. Builder, version told by the opossum storyteller Vesha Rufulak, Madison, 1730. Grandpa sat in his chair, his eyes closed, his scent so gray and dusty, Rat had to stifle a sneeze as he peered into the parlor.
"Grandpa, can I get you anything?"
The old mouse sighed.
"No, thank you, Retire. I'll be fine. Eventually."
Rat nodded, searched for something to say.
"Aunt Tyra told me that Kylie went right to bed after the service."
"Sleep's always good."
Grandpa rubbed his forehead.
"Or so I've been told. I can never get to sleep for a week before or after a funeral. Keep thinking the next one ought to be mine."
A twitch from his whiskers.
"Thank the gods for you and Tyra. I'm not exactly at my best right now."
Silence then. Rat fidgeting, trying to think of a good way to tell Grandpa the news. But nothing came to him. So he just cleared his throat and said,
"Well, it's just, well, the election's coming up, and at the memorial service I overheard Bledis saying Aunt Meline might declare her candidacy now that Uncle Bors is...
Damn clan politics.
Grandpa's claws dug into the arms of the chair, but then he went lax, his whole body seeming to deflate.
Oh, gods, I can't do this now. Next week, I'll make the rounds, hit the families before the vote, but...
He finally opened his eyes, so red they made Rat cringe, and stood.
Bors is dead.
He limped over, touched Rat's elbow.
I'll see you tomorrow, Retile.
Yes, sir.
Rat watched him drift into the hall. Grandpa had always been old, but since the accident at the festival grounds, he looked empty, his shoulders narrower, his paws barely making an impression in the carpet when he walked. After a moment, the door to Grandpa's room clicked, and Rat strode into the hall, grabbed his hat from the stand, stepped out into the front garden, everything trimmed back for fall. Down the path and out onto the sidewalk, he crossed the street and pushed open the gate to Aunt Asta's yard. What he was going to do, he didn't know, but he had to do something. Aunt Asta's place was nearly as big as the clan house. Rat padded through the main courtyard and down the path toward the south wing, the trees and hedges all rustling with browns, reds, and yellows. He crossed the south patio, empty of furniture this late in the year, and knocked on the side door. A moment, and it pulled open, Pearl blinking up at him.
Retire? What are you... Hi, Pearl.
He took his hat off, managed to find a smile and use it.
Is Aunt Meline in? There was something I wanted to ask her about, is all.
Pearl frowned, but she stepped back.
Sure, I guess. I mean, she's home, so yeah, come on in.
A narrow strip of carpeting ran down the center of the hall, everything else bare wood. Rat followed Pearl through the first door on the right, straight-backed chairs, plain white curtains and wallpaper, the oak leaves in the vase over the fireplace, the only touch of color in the whole room.
Have a seat, Pearl said. I'll tell Mom you're here. Thank you.
Rat padded in and sat gingerly, fairly sure the chair was at least 100 years old, and absolutely certain it wasn't designed for anyone but a mouse. And suddenly, all he could think of was that one awful tea party. What? 8 years ago now, when he'd managed to shatter Aunt Asta's old teapot all over the carpet in this very room. His paw had stung for days after she'd whacked him with her cane.
Retile?
Aunt Meline's voice. Rat started, stood, tried not to clutch at his hat brim. The mouse herself padded into the room then, her yellow scarf almost lost in her off-white fur.
Something I can do for you?
Well, actually...
Might as well get right to it.
You could not run for clan head this time around.
Her eyes narrowed.
Is that some sort of threat?
What?
Rat's knees went watery, made him sink back into the chair.
No, I...
Yes, I thought not.
With a tiny smile, she sat.
But you have to admit that with this tragedy hanging over him, Uncle Raymond isn't the best candidate for the clan.
But he is, ma'am.
Rat sat forward.
The clan needs him right now, and more importantly, he needs the clan.
A frown touched her whiskers.
I don't...
It's about continuity, Aunt Meline.
That was something she'd respond to, Rat figured.
About the way the clan supports each mouse, and each mouse supports the clan. Uncle Bor's death changes so many things so quickly. The clan needs the stability only Grandpa can provide, and it sure won't do Grandpa any good, losing not just his son, but his position.
Her frown deepened, but Rat pushed on.
I know you and Grandpa disagree on some pretty fundamental issues, but you were planning to wait 2 years to run anyway. Please, Aunt Meline, let Grandpa have this last term to help settle the clan.
He sat back and spread his paws.
I mean... Who's going to be around to face you in 2 years anyway?
Aunt Meline flicked a claw against the arm of her chair.
Kylie, for one. All you youngsters will be of voting age by then, and Kylie's popular, efficient, and Raymond's granddaughter.
Her dark eyes met his.
And you, for another.
Rat couldn't stop a little laugh from popping out.
Me?
Yes.
She cocked her head.
Until this very moment, I've been able to write you off as one of Uncle Raymond's little buffooneries. But now...
She stood.
Thank you for coming by, Retile. You've been a great help.
I have?
He got to his paws as well.
Definitely.
Her tiny smile was back.
First thing next week, I'll declare my candidacy.
All he could do was stare as she moved toward the doorway.
"I'm honestly sorry about Bor's death," she said. "I always enjoyed debating with him. But as you pointed out, change is in the air, and I'd be a fool to give Raymond these next 2 years to make Kylie or you over into his successor. You can find your own way out, I trust?"
She stepped through the door and was swallowed by the hallway's shadows. Another frozen moment, then Rat shook his head. Okay, retrace, regroup, rethink. If he'd learned anything from Grandpa's tracking lessons, it was that. He had 2 days till Aunt Maline declared. And again, no idea what to do. Slapping his hat between his ears, he moved out of the parlor, down the hall, stepped into the autumn afternoon, and started around the house, his mind churning. Through the gate onto the street, he winced at a cold gust of wind across his face, leaves scattering over the sidewalk in front of him, wood smoke and mouse scents thick against his whiskers. Down Hahn Court, he could see the nibbler cottages along Chestnut Lane, nearly every chimney giving off puffs of gray. Most folks would be home, he knew, taking the day off for a big clan funeral, gathering in their parlors afterwards to remember and have a quiet supper together. Rat considered. With a little effort, he could cover the entire north side of the neighborhood before nightfall, spend tomorrow getting to everyone else, just stop in and convey Grandpa's thanks to the various families for turning out at the service. No overt campaigning, sure, but it would keep Grandpa's name in folks' minds, and he could gauge how much support Aunt Maline might actually have out there. He couldn't imagine she had much, but he'd been wrong about her before. Only one way to find out. Straightening his hat, he started down the hill toward Chestnut Lane. Darkling Eclectica Presents has brought you Part 7 of Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne. Narration and music were by Michael Payne. Darkling Eclectica Presents is a production of KUCI in Irvine.